Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us worship Christ.
Yes, yes.
He's our Savior. Let us worship Christ. Our Savior. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Christ, our Lord. Let us worship Christ, our Savior. Let us worship Christ. He's our Savior. Let us worship Christ, our Lord. Cause all the earth should praise Him. Let us bow down before Him. Let us enter into
That's true. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house. Joy in the house. Healing in the house. Salvation in the house. Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. It's not in the house, you don't need it. It's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for these exceeding great and precious promises which you've given us, Lord, and we receive them into our lives right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes this morning, we might behold wondrous things out of your word and share them together in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord,
give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There was one of these days we're going to get deeper into the book of Ruth, but I want to say something a little bit more about the historical background. Obviously, it takes place during the period of the judges, right? Ruth 1 and 1 says that. The period of the judges, according to Paul, in Acts 13 and 20, spanned 450 years. According to Paul, the period of the judges was 450 years. During that period, there were 93 bad years in which the Israelites were in literal bondage for their idolatry. Various times to the Midianites and the Philistines and the Canaanites and various ones, they were in bondage for a total of 93 years. So interspersed throughout that period were 200 good years. Land, years when the land had rest because Jehovah was pleased with his people. That's Judges 3 and 11, 4 and 30, 5, 31, and 8 and 28. Thus, there were 157 years that were in which the land had neither rest nor was in bondage.
How many?
157 years that were sort of what we might call mediocre years. They were neither notoriously good, nor were they notoriously bad. It was apparently during one of those mediocre periods that the book of Ruth opens up in. There was a famine in the land. So it wasn't a good year. It wasn't a good time. It was a bad time. But it doesn't say that they were in bondage. So it was one of those bad times. One of those sort of mediocre times when it was neither really bad nor really good. And so then they come back, and when they come back, when Naomi comes back, it's apparently a really good time. This appears to be a really good time when they come back into the land, because where the crops are good and the place is at peace and rest and everything, it's a very nice time that they come back, yes.
You made the statement that God had visited.
That's right. He had visited his land. That's right. Visited his people. That's right. Exactly. All right. So let's go to, I think I was somewhere around verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. And they said unto her, this is Ruth and Orpah said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Now let's see, let's get over here where I'm doing my translation. Let's see where that's at. Okay. And they said unto her, surely we'll return with you unto your people. Okay. But Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to be with a husband. Even if I said that I had hope, even this night, to be with a man and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of Jehovah is gone out against me. Now, a couple of things. First of all, we want to stop right there that in the Peshitta, which is the Syriac Bible, and I told you that the Syriac had some really good readings here, some of the best in the whole Bible. The Peshitta of Ruth is probably some of the best in the whole Peshitta. The book of Ruth is. The Peshitta says, would you wait for them until they are grown? And would you be withheld from having a husband? No, my daughters, because there is great bitterness with me over you, and I am more bitter than you, because the hand of Jehovah has gone forth after me. So the Hebrew actually says, it grieves me much for your sakes, but the Peshitta says, I am more bitter than you are, because the hand of Jehovah has gone forth after me. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Of course, Naomi is going to get into that a little bit. She's going to elaborate on that in a few verses, what she thinks has happened to her and why she thinks all this stuff has happened to her. What Naomi says here, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against her, the hand of Jehovah has gone forth against her. Is that true? Is that necessarily true?
No.
No. It's not necessarily true.
Did she feel that way though?
Did she feel? Okay, that's right. Did she say it?
Yes.
Yes, she said it. Did she feel it? Yes, she felt it. Was it true?
No.
Not necessarily. No, no. And we would say no. And you know, we don't have to try to, you know, justify. We don't have to try to figure out how in the world that might be true in some sense or other. All we have to do is remember that Naomi was not the author of the book of Ruth. Naomi wasn't the author. She wasn't speaking as the author. She was speaking as a person. She was speaking out of the bitterness of her mind.
Her flesh.
Yes, she was bitter. She said she was bitter. She said, I am bitter. I'm more bitter than you are. I'm bitter. And so she was talking out of bitterness when she said that. Now, you know, we've talked about this before, and this is a very important concept that a lot of folks don't realize, that everything in the Bible ain't true. Just because it's in the Bible don't mean it's true. The devil even speaks in the Bible. We got instances where the devil talks in the Bible. And he ain't telling the truth. And there's a lot of folks that are telling outright lies in the Bible. We know that's not true.
That's true. And I'm glad God allowed her to say that.
Sure.
Sometimes in life we feel that way.
Sure, of course.
You know, we feel that way.
She's human.
She spoke it. And she had nobody down there to encourage her.
No.
To say,
that's
no,
right.
Naomi, you know, God.
That's right.
She was in the wrong place. She was in Moab.
That's right, she was. And she'd been away from her people and from her land for a long time. And that's what happens when you get out of the Father's house for a long time. When you're in the hog pen for quite a while, you might say a bunch of stupid stuff. So, you know. Yes.
Well, I did a little research on Naomi, and it said, you know, that she didn't really want to go to Moabites, you know, over there, because she knew they was out of worship.
Yeah.
But she went on being a good woman.
Yep.
Husband, a good wife.
Well, that's
she
right.
Went on.
That's
and,
true.
You know, you can think about that in her mind.
That's
also
true.
And I, you know, researched a little bit more about her past. Now, she had sisters and brothers, and, you know, and her father, you know, was, you know, and the way they would do, they would have sacrifices. Well, not sacrifices, they would have parties, with dances, you know, they would dance, and men would come to choose their bride. And one night they came in and stole a bunch of women, and she was one of them, but the guy that stole her was very good to her. He didn't touch her. He wanted her to, you know, make up her mind and decide when they wanted to be together. So I thought that was a good thing for her, and God was really on her side in that behalf.
She did not realize how she did not realize that God had not forsaken her, that
right.
She was, that God was still with her. And
giving her a daughter-in-law like she gave her.
Yes.
I
mean,
yeah.
That's the worst thing in the world, daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. You hear them jokes all the time. You know, it's very, I couldn't say that about my mother-in-law because she was a sweet lady. But you hear that all the time. The mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law joke. The mother-in-law and daughter-in-law just can't get along at all.
Mother-in-law jokes all the time.
The
yeah,
time.
All
yeah.
The time. That's right. Now there's a couple of things. Now this is a very important concept. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you realize that a lot of things that is said in the book of Ecclesiastes is totally wrong, because he's talking as a fool. For example, when he says, vanity of vanities saith, he doesn't say saith the Lord. He says, vanity of vanities saith the preacher. All is vanity. Well, that's just him speaking out of his mind. You know, in a lot of places in there, you have to realize that Solomon is not speaking as he makes himself to be the speaker. He says, I said, then I returned, and I saw this, and I saw that, and I said this, and I did that. Well, when he's doing that, he's taking himself out of the stream of prophetic anointing, and he's saying that this is me talking. This is me, and I'm speaking as a fool. And Paul actually said that in one place. He said, I speak as a fool. Well, is that the gospel? Is the gospel foolish? No. Paul said, I speak as a fool. When Paul says, I speak as a fool, that ain't the gospel. That ain't the gospel. So you got to be careful. When you read this, remember, are they speaking out of their own mind for some reason? And usually that's fairly clear when you think about it.
So that's in Corinthians where they're talking all that discourse. So he said, Paul says, I say this.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just Paul.
Yes, it is. A lot of it is just Paul talking. That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. Absolutely. He says that. He says that several times. He says, I don't have any such commandment from the Lord, but this is my opinion.
Right.
Now, you know, we always say we're not interested in people's opinion. Well, Paul gave us his opinion on various occasions. Paul said, this is my opinion.
Evidently, God don't mind you having one.
God does not mind you having an opinion.
Now, he might correct it.
It might be wrong, but we do have an opinion. Paul, if God had been absolutely against that, we wouldn't have people's opinions in the Bible, and we got Paul's opinions in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Paul put them in there.
You know, God was open to that when he wrote the Word of God, because you know that he was open to David's sin. He put the good thing David did in there, the sin part.
That is true.
Now the sin part, being me, we would have left it out. But he showed us the whole panoramic of life.
Yeah, that's true.
He showed the good, he showed the bad.
That's right. Now so
we can avoid the bad.
That's right.
For our learning.
So when you read the Bible, you don't, and you find stuff like what Naomi is saying here. I have tried, you know, to tie myself up in a pretzel to try to explain, how this could be that God might be doing this or that and the other. No, don't do that. Just don't worry about it. She's not the author. You don't have to explain that. This is the way she felt about it. Yep. Don't worry about it.
She's telling the truth how she felt.
It's true that she said that, and it's true that she felt that, but it ain't necessarily true.
It's not true.
That God had done these things, okay?
But God doesn't mind us expressing ourselves. You know, I just don't feel like praying today. Can you help me, you know, even more, you know? And he does, you know. He doesn't mind us being honest and truthful with him and how we feel.
Well, we know. That's true.
That's true.
But don't stay there.
Don't stay there.
Naomi didn't stay there.
No, she didn't stay there.
She
did not stay there, praise the Lord.
She changed their whole tone.
That is right. That's correct. Brother Ray.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, what are the good examples of that in the book of Job?
Yes.
A large portion of it is spelled out with
absolutely.
The talk of Job's supposedly friends.
Yeah.
And God at the end says,
three-fourths of it.
You know?
Three-fourths of the book of Job is written by people who God said did not even know what they were talking about.
So even if Naomi had written the book of Ruth, she still accurately recorded what she said at those times. I believe the Bible is accurate. It accurately reports.
She could. Oh, that's right.
What they said was true or not.
That's correct.
Accurately or truly reports.
That is correct. That is correct.
What happened.
That is correct.
What people said.
That is correct.
All that kind of thing.
That's the way I look at it. That is true.
Whatever Paul said, that's what he said.
That is what he said.
We got the true report of what Paul did.
That is correct.
You know, and
that is absolutely correct.
And archaeologists have found, as they go back and look at some of these things that happened in the past, and they say, well, we can't find this city, and then they later find it.
Yeah, that's right, they do.
And because they think the Bible must be wrong because they couldn't find the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, the Bible's right. Even if you can't find the city,
that's
the
right.
Bible's still
that's
right.
That's right, that's true.
And then they find it and they go, oh.
Yeah, that's right. That's happened many times. All right, let's move on along here. Where were we at? Okay, verse 13. Let's go to verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, your sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return you after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For wherever you go, will I go. Mm-hmm. And wherever you lodge, will I lodge.
Yes.
Your people shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And your God, my God.
Yes.
Where you die, will I die.
Mm.
And there will I be buried. Jehovah, do so to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me.
Whoa.
Now, of course, that's the classic form of the Hebrew oath right there. Now, sometimes when in the Bible they just give you a shorthand version. Sometimes you see in the scriptures where it says they leave out that first part. Jehovah, do so to me and more also. They leave that part out and they just say if something. Something, something. Well, what they mean is that's just shorthand. That's just an abbreviated form of the oath. This oath is fully written out here. Jehovah, do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me.
Whoa.
Of course, those words have been printed on Hallmark cards and various places. You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful what she said, and she is... right there has made a decision. Right there she has really made a decision to become Ruth. Yeah. Right there is where she has made her decision to become Ruth.
Whoa.
She becomes Ruth right there at that point because she made a decision. And you be like we said before, you're not born a valiant woman. You become a valiant woman.
Yeah.
By choices that you make in your life.
Jesus.
You make good choices.
Whoa.
You turn out good. You make bad choices, just a few bad choices, and you can ruin your whole life. And not only yours, but a lot of other people's.
Mm-hmm.
So you make choices, and then God blesses when you make good choices. God can't bless you if you make bad choices. Make bad choices, you tie God's hands to bless you. He wants to bless you, but he can't bless you if you're making really bad choices. He's trying, but he can't. You're just in the way all the time. All right.
Bro Horton, I like how Naomi just made a distinguish between both of the daughter-in-laws. She seemed to have been pleasant with both of them, you know.
She was.
She said, mm-hmm. Now, the other one has gone back to her God. She went back to the God she had been serving.
God's plural. Yeah, it's plural.
But Ruth wanted Naomi's God.
That's true. That is right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what made the real big difference.
That's right.
Both
there
of
you
them
go.
Wanted Naomi.
There you go.
But both of them didn't want her God.
That is true.
Only Ruth wanted.
That's true. That's very true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. That's what made her stay.
That is correct. And that is correct. That's why Ruth became Ruth.
Yeah, that's what gave her staying power.
That's right, exactly.
That's what's gonna give us staying power.
That's right.
If we make Jesus our choice, we can have staying power. We can have steadfastness. We can have loyalty.
Amen. That's Chesed. You're talking about, you're describing Chesed now, that's right.
Amen.
Verse 18 says, And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" Now, you know, we can surmise various reasons why they said it that way. It could have been, it's like some of them were saying, "We heard you were dead. We thought you was dead. You know, is this Naomi? But you're still alive." And then it's possible that they were thinking, "Wow, can this possibly be Naomi? The last time we saw her, she was vigorous, she was young, she was strong. Now she's
bitter.
She looks way older. Age has not been good to her. We couldn't hardly recognize it. Can this possibly be Naomi, the Naomi that we saw go out of here years ago? Can this possibly be her?"
The same one.
The same one. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That her attitude had changed.
Yeah, that's right.
That God different, you know. God,
that's
God
true.
She left out with.
So she did not apparently look the same as she did when she went out. I think we can surmise that based on what they said, that she looked a lot different than when she left. Because they said, "Is this Naomi?"
Yeah. But you know, bitterness will do that.
Sure it will.
It would change how you look.
That is absolutely right.
And her name was Pleasant, though.
That's right. That's correct. And in verse 20, we'll start there next time. Praise the Lord. It's getting good now. Praise the Lord.
You were probably one of these exuberant, vivacious young ladies, you know, who's a friend to everybody and goes and says all this stuff, and she's just so full of energy. And when she, you know, when she went through all the dances she went through, she came back.
Yes.
You know. And even wanted to change her name, right?
Absolutely.
I don't want to be called Naomi.
Don't call me that anymore. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm bitter.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, she certainly lost a lot, didn't she?
She did.
She lost a lot. She lost her two sons and her husband. So, I mean, the weight of everything on her, but we have to remember that even when we go through horrible times.
Yes.
You know, we can be weighted down with cares and stuff, but
yeah.
We still got problems.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. Mm-hmm. That's good.